Good morning, church. Today, the worship was really nice. I thank Paul and his team because the last verse which says, all his promises are yes and amen. Say with loud voice, all his promises are
yes and amen.
So last week, we are going through one of the series. Which is the series? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, last time we heard that He is a person. He is person in Trinity and He is with us. And the thing is, He is always with us, keeps on speaking forever and ever. One of the songs says He is with us forever and ever. So He is always with us. So that is what we saw last, and they act all together. They are co-equal in work. Their functions are different, but they are co-equal. That is what we saw last time, and then we saw it has emotions also. He said, don't quench the Holy Spirit, he says. So we have to be. Do you feel sometimes when you offend somebody or something, do you feel sad for it? That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Believers are always offended when you do something wrong. They are always offended. You feel bad because the Holy Spirit is within us and He convinces us and convicts us that we are wrong. Or when we are also happy sometimes. Why? Because He convinces us what you have done, my son or my daughter, you have done great. Praise God, and you are high up in the clouds at that moment. So that is what we see. And then we are coming to the next, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that is why I said, all His promises are yes and amen. Because gifts are more important for us. So, we are reading Romans 12, 4 to 8 for today's, and we are looking into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It says 12, 4 to 8, it says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The thing is, God has given all these gifts to us. You know, we have different parts of the body. Most of us are on lefties. Most of us are left. Does the left hand say, right hand say, you left hand, you do nothing? It cooperates. How good it is. Because most of the time, things we do with the left hand only. Right hand, but left hand is minimum. But those who are with right hand, they do maximum with right hand. And they don't complain to the right hand, you are doing nothing. Isn't it? But they are part of our body. So every part of our body is indispensable. And here we are going to look into the three gifts. The first, we are going to go through the gifts, that is, gifts of prophecy. Because we are going through the gift of prophecy, gift of serving, and gift of teaching. We are going to go deep into this. As I was preparing this topic, this helped me a lot. And it revealed many things to me. And these are the gifts which God gives to each one of us. Do you believe? Say yes. Yes, all his promises are, because we came from praise and worship. And we said from the depth of our hearts that all his promises are yes and amen. So gifts are from God. And God says, see here, the prophecy is so important because it is mentioned in n number of chapters. It is mentioned, the gift is mentioned more than any other spiritual gifts. It is mentioned in 1 Corinthians. If you see all these are there, 12, 28, 29, 13, 1, 2, 3, then 8, 14, and 6, in Ephesians 4, 11, and of course in Romans 12, 6. We see it is often mentioned, gift of prophecy. So today, we'll see that we'll get that gifts because in God we get all the things. So looking into this, we'll see the what are the key effects of this prophecy. It says the divine inspiration, the message is not from individual's own wisdom, but from God through the Holy Spirit. When we are in praise and worship, what we do? We are one with God. So likewise, when we speak of prophecy, they are from God, not through our own wisdom or understanding. Then communication of God's word. It involves speaking God's message directly to individuals, the church, or a larger context. And purposes for edification. Prophecy is intended to encourage, strengthen, and comfort others, not just to foretell the future, then not limited to predicting the future. While some prophecies may include predicting the futures, the primary purpose is to reveal God's will and truth. And then gift of the Holy Spirit. It is one of the spiritual gifts given by God to believers according to the scriptures. So these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit where God, and these are important things which we have to know. Because it is a God-given gift to each one of us. And when God gives, he gives where we have to ask for, we have to pray for, we have to depend more on him. Yeah. This gift of prophecy is highly regarded. Here in 1 Corinthians 14, 1, he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Some of the translations which I was going through, he says, you strive for the spiritual gifts. When you strive for the spiritual gifts, you put your total heart for it. And then you get that. You know? Now, there are some things which you make an attempt. Any events are there, what you do? You give your best. Likewise, when we are in presence of God, you should keep on asking. That we'll see ahead as we go ahead. What are the things? How to strive? But rather that you may prophesy. And then in 14:39, he says, 1 Corinthians, so my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues. It is so important of prophesying. So Paul, Apostle Paul, he always speaks that struggle for it, strive for it, and be eager to prophesy. And then when we are the day of Pentecost, what happened? The day of Pentecost, when Apostle Peter stood, he quoted Joel, book of Joel, when the church was to be established, when church was, New Testament church was going to be. He quoted Joel, and what did he say? But this is what which was spoken by the prophet Joel, 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. He was quoting the Old Testament in the New Testament age, so that this prophecy still will remain in this age also. Nothing is going to vanish, because he quoted Joel at this time, at this moment. So this is the beauty of this prophecy. The prophecy was going to be a reality for believers in this age. In New Testament, there are a number of people who possess these gifts of prophecy. We see in 13:1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and the Saul. See, there were a number of teachers and one who spoke, prophets, during that day. And not only that, there was another prophet who prophesied, Agabus. He predicted of Paul's suffering at that time. Not only that, he also said that there will be a famine in the world. That is what he said. So many of the prophets, not only that, even women, men and women, they started prophesying, the gift of prophecy exercise. In Acts 21:9, he says, now this man had four virgins' daughters who prophesied. This man, in the sense, Philip, he was an evangelist. He had four daughters, and then they were prophesying. And Acts 15:32 said, then Judas and Silas, both being prophets, spoke at length to the believers, encouraging and strengthening their faith. These are the things which God speaks to us. That is why after praise and worship, what we do? We call, if anybody, God has spoken to you. Because in praise and worship, we put our attention, we look at only Lord and worship Him. And that moment of time, our transactions takes place. And God speaks to us in many ways. In many ways He speaks to us. Because we are one with God. And that is why they say, if anybody has the word of encouragement or something to speak, come forward. So this is the gift God gives. We have to strive for it. We have to desire for it. And if we strive, if we desire for it, God will definitely bless us. So this is the gift which everyone has. Men, women, daughters, sisters, all had. And, yeah, it's not limited to predicting. While some prophecies may include predictions, the primary purpose is to reveal God's will. No, I'm wrong. It's already over. Yeah, the prophecy predicting of the future. Acts 11:28 says, one of them named Agabus stood up and indicated by the Spirit that there would be definitely a severe famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. I also said earlier that he also prophesied of Paul's suffering. He predicted, if you go, you'll suffer. That is what the Agabus says. So this is called as predicting prophecy. Future, what is going to happen? We prophesy many things. Many of the church members, they come forward. I have seen even elsewhere also, they come forward and they have that visions, dreams, and they speak this thing which I saw, which we saw. And God speaks, God is speaking this way or that way. This is what the prophecy is. So he says, and he instructed and encouraged people. 14:31 he says, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. This is Paul speaking to the church, local church, for local congregation, that we may get encouraged. Because by speaking, we get really, when somebody comes and lifts us up, we get encouraged and we move on in life. So this is, so gift of prophecy is more touching, and it will serve many things, because we have seen it is a prophecy where God gives, it's a God-given gift to us when we desire of it, and God says, yes, you will get all the promise, because God has promised all these promises. When God has promised, we will get it. But we have to desire and we have to be eager to look into it, and we have to strive for it, and we will get these words of prophecies. And the thing is, to get these prophecies, we have to be one with God all the time. It is immaterial whether you are a girl or you are a boy, because all have been blessed with this gift. Because the word of God has says, with every man and woman, with every man and woman, they have this gift of prophecies. So let us look unto it, and we'll see that we'll get this gift of prophecy. Then next, we'll come to the prophecy of serving. What is serving? The gift of serving, also known as the gift of servanthood, is a spiritual ability of actively meet the needs of others, both physically and spiritually, without expecting or recognition or reward. It is a strong desire to help, assist, and support others in various ways, often working behind the scenes to ensure things run smoothly. Because we have seen serving plays a very important role. The thing is, in Romans, as we were going through that, it says that if it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. And then we see that in serving many people, because one of the last Saturday or Sunday, the church announced, they said that we have a cleaning week. And I could see one father with a child cleaning the chairs. It was so touching. Child and the son, they have come and they are cleaning the chairs. This was so touching. So much touching. We have this search, and who has seen it? It is not noticeable. Because I am speaking, because as I am just revealing, others, nobody must be knowing it. But it's so nice. And they are not in the forefront, they are at the back. But God reveals, God really blesses them. Then we have our ministries. Which ministries? Street Kid Ministry. The volunteers are there. The leaders are, again and again we call, and we see they are helping them. There are many activities in our church. We see today's praise and worship. We enjoyed. We enjoyed every song they sung, every instrument, every beat they beat. It was so touching. Why? Because they worked behind the scene. And we come on Sundays and we sit on chairs and we just enjoy. Somebody has cleaned their chairs. Somebody has arranged their chairs. We sit and we enjoy it. So that is why we have to always see that this serving is a gift, God-given gift. And then some of the key aspects of serving of the gifts is needs oriented. People with this gift are keenly aware of the needs of others and actively seek ways to fulfill them. Practical help. They excel at providing tangible assistance where it is in the church setting, community, organization, or personal relationships. They come forward each and every place. Maybe in the church. At one place, we went for one occasion and I could see all are coming together and helping. You know, at one place. Just yesterday I saw all are coming together and coming forward to the help, to the service of the others. It was so nice. So here it says, this practical helps others. Then humility and selflessness, they prioritize the needs of others above their own, often working quietly and without seeking praise. I had some issues in my laptop, but when I gave a call instantly, one of our church members came forward and he helped me. The thing is, having that desire to serve comes when that desire from heart is there, person comes forward. So that is what seeking things through. They have a knack for completing the task and seeing projects through to the end, demonstrating diligence and commitment. Yes, they want to complete the things which are done. See, last week, our camera was right in front with in between some tripod. The task is completed. The thing is, now while they were practicing, one string got broken. But immediately someone, all they rushed, they were adjust the string of that guitar and it got done. Coming all together and working for the cause makes the team, makes the people, makes the church very happy. Each one has this gift of serving. So we have to be diligent and come forward. Love and care, their actions are driven by a desire to express love and care for others, showing compassion and kindness in their service. Motivated by God's love, their desire to serve is often rooted in their understanding of God's love and their desire to reflect that love to others. Love plays a very vital role in our life because God is love. So whatever we do, we see that we do out of love. Maybe serving in any field, nothing is low or nothing is high when we do service. Because as we see, nothing is, we can say that this job is high or low. But everything is okay, as I was sharing in a right and left hand. So there are from this, we come to know many, there are many ministries which when we go through the New Testament, when we go through the scriptures, there are many ministries which help us and reveals many things to us that the way we should help and which way we should serve. This is people they supported in this Acts. We are doing even Acts in the this one Bible study. Yeah, we are doing Acts. So, and even we did complete Acts in our church also. So everybody must be aware of this Acts. So here, the thing is, these 12 apostles, 12 disciples, they were so much busy in their work, but they were getting obstructed in this ministry of spreading the word to the others. So what they did? The 12 summoned the full number of disciples. That is what in Acts chapter 6, verse 2 onwards it says. And the 12 summoned full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And that, they said, pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. The thing is, they came forward. This disciples whom they chose, they came forward and they started helping. End result, what happened? Because they came forward, because they supported these apostles, 12 apostles, yes, we'll carry out that work. What happened? The word spread. And we see the end result. What is that result? We see the word of the God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. For the progress of the church, one has to help one or the other. You cannot be separated because we all are members. Because as we said, as we read in Romans, it says that right hand cannot say to the left, I am weak or strong. Likewise, each members, when they participate in the church activities, it helps us to grow. And we do experience in our church also that many people, they are coming forward. Maybe any ministry they want. Maybe I say even Saturday's practices are coming place. So there are many issues where people come forward. But still, even I have seen at the end of the service, many people, they gather the chairs and they try to keep at the one end. This is automatic. This is like my having my own oneness. This is my church. When we have this thinking, it is my church, then you automatically, your mind turns up. And then you start doing it. So this is what is happened also. Gift of something. So these people, they came forward and they started working. And we could see many people were brought into the church. The church grew in many, many numbers. Then also we see the gift of helping. Acting 12, he sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia while he stayed in the province of Asia a little longer. Paul was to go to Jerusalem, but in between he sent his two helpers. And as a helper, they went to Macedonia, who? Timothy and Erastus. Then gift of assisting, and Acts 13:5 says, and when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of Jewish. They also had John as their assistant. This is John Mark, who helped them in the ministry. And the thing is, each, never think this is high or this low. They were helping, they were assisting, they were serving. And the ministry was growing. Church grew. The important is where we stand. We should have that heart for serving. And then this is Philippians 1. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. Who is this Onesimus? He was a slave to his master Philemon. And then he robbed and he ran away from that place. After running away, what happened? He encountered Paul in prison at Rome. And then when he encountered, he got changed. So much so, Paul calls him as a son. My son. I am like father to him. Now Philemon, you accept him. So he was reconciled back. A runner, a robber who went back, he was reconciled because he encountered by serving. He must have seen something. So these are the things which happen by serving God. God transforms. So we see here that he is reconciled back to Philemon. All believers, they have a gift of serving. 12:19, it says, for all were a single organ, where would the body be? As it is there, as many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the other parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable. Other day, I went for one function. I liked that item. I kept on eating it. Again, I ate it. Then I even commented sometimes. God would have blessed me by giving 2 stomachs because I wanted to eat more. But God has given me only 1 stomach. Only that much I can fill, not more. Even if I want to eat, I cannot. So likewise, if everybody says, I want to be only I, where it is? You would have not come in the church because feet are required to walk. Hands are required to hold these 2 things. So each organ is more important. So just say to your neighbor, I am important in the church. Just say loudly, I am important to the church. And then you say to other, you are important to the church. Okay? So this is the criteria. Important to the church, not to sit, but to serve. So that is what it says. Can all of us read this? Each believer has a ministry or a place at a count of 3. Are you able to say at the end? Great. So let us read this at the end, which I have underlined. Each believer has a ministry or a place in the church. The body of Christ, every part is essential for the smooth function of the ministry. So there are many ministries. We announce so many ministries are there in the church. Yesterday morning we had a prayer ministry. As a church, when you come together, how good it is. We have a street kid ministry. If you come all and participate in those things, how good it is. God will definitely bless to those who take a step of faith. Because serving ability or the gift is already given to each one of us. Because this gift is to be developed. Because I remember sometimes once we get married, initial days, the better half says, I don't know to cook. Is it? But now they are so expert. Why? Because they continue. It is continual process. Likewise, we have to be continual in serving, to be continual in fellowship with God. Your prophecy will be there. You will have the gift of prophecy. You will have the gift of serving. We go ahead. The gift of ministering work is a variety of ways. 4 Timothy 4:13 says, bring the cloak. See, these are very minor things. Ye mujhe kya kaam de raha hai, we say, na? N number of times say, give me some respectable work. But here you see, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come. And the books, especially the parchments. Somebody will say, what a filthy work it is. But no. This helped Paul. Timothy helped Paul in his ministry by doing these things. That is what he says. Then the gift also consists of helping the church with prayer. He says, 1 Corinthians 1:11, 2 Corinthians 1:11, as you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on your behalf of the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Prayers also helps others. How many, sincerely, you tell me now, don't raise hand, don't speak anything, how many of y'all pray for the church? At home, not in the church. At home. How many of y'all pray for the church? How many of y'all pray for the ministries like street kid ministry we have? How many of y'all pray? Just think it over. How many of y'all pray? We enjoyed so much of praise and worship today. How much of us pray at home for this? Or we only pray for ourselves? Mujhe wo chahiye, mujhe wo chahiye, mujhe ye karna hai, wo karna hai. Or do you pray for others? This is what we have to think of. They were blessed. That is what Paul says to the church in Corinth. They say that, yes, as you help us by your prayers. then many will give thanks on your behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So we have to be very, we go ahead. Now, gift of serving. Greatest gift. It is called as a servanthood. Gift of serving is also called as serving. It says in Matthew 2:25, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. We have to be great, we have to be, some voice please, we have to be servant. You want to be great in God's kingdom? We have to be servant. In God's kingdom, in the church, in elsewhere, not for others, but in the God's kingdom, if you want serving, you will be the greatest. And then he says, Jesus himself gave an example of serving. He washed the disciples' feet, John 3:12. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you as an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends a message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. We want to be blessed, we have to serve. And it is a gift. Because Romans, what we read initially, it says, gift of prophecy, prophesy. Gift of serving, serve. You have the gift of teaching, teach. So we have to follow the examples of Jesus, because he is the role model of us. Because of him, we are going to eternity. Because of him, we are saved. Because of him, we are not going, because he has conquered the grave. And those who believe in him are going to live forever and ever. When this role model of us has become an example for us, how we should be. Are we serving? A big question mark where we have to think on. Are we taking a step of faith? Are we serving in our church activities? What the basic things are to be done? Even I've seen people taking that table down below. Sometimes they struggle to open the door. Take and help us with samosas, teas, and we just take it, we enjoy it. But see the service of theirs behind this. The heart of theirs behind this service. We have to think on all these things. Teaching. Now, teaching is another gift where God gives. He says key aspects of the gift teaching. Clear communication. So clear communication, the gift enables individuals to explain the complex biblical truths in a way that is easily understood by others. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Isaiah 55:11, it says, so in my words that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to be empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I send it. Here the teacher understands. Now I am speaking. But ultimately who? God will touch you. Because it is not with my wisdom. I am speaking the word and the word will touch you. I am not going to touch you. It is ultimately God who is going to touch you. So with that readiness, we have to sit here. We have to be awake here. Then only God will touch. Are we coming with readiness to hear the word of God? Are we awake during this word? Are we coming in time for the word? All these factors are more important. Then only God will touch. I am not going to touch. God's word will touch. Because it is alive and active. That is why you see Gideon ministries are there. They keep the Bible in different locations. They just leave the Bible. Who is talking to them? Nobody is talking. They just open the Bible and they somehow they get touched. And they become Christians. They become believers. Because it is alive. God is alive and active. And he said, "Will accomplish what I desire." Then, so Bible teacher understand that he is merely a messenger, a conduit of grace to a needy world. He knows that the effectiveness of the ministry does not rest on his abilities, but on the Holy Spirit's work in the hearts of the others. So it is the work of the Holy Spirit which works into it. And then clear communication. Second and fourth, preach the word. But preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke and encourage with correct patience and instructions. This is what the one has to do. If anybody is going wrong or something, we have to correct. Because the word of God is so true. Because he understands that the ultimate goal of the teacher is not knowledge, but transformation. Onesimus got transformed. How he got transformed? He encountered Paul in the prison. And that is why you see he got transformed. He became his son. And he got reconciled with his master, Philemon. So likewise, we have to see that. We correct people. You must be seen many a times, pastors or leaders, they keep on correcting us. We have to be obedient to them. Or if anything is there, we have, with openness, we have to discuss. If anything is not, you feel it is not alignment or something, open heart should be there. And then you say, this is happening. We have a good example of Ezra, a good teacher. He said, for Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teach its degrees and laws in Israel. He was a good teacher. During the when they were exiles in Babylon, King Artaxerxes, what happened? He sent his team, and he was the leader for that. And he sent it to Jerusalem to build the temple. He was the lineage of Aaron, a very good teacher. That is what it says. And he established all the Jewish community, religious community, is what has to be happened over there. He was very much into that. And he says he devoted his himself to study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teach his degrees and laws in Israel. So observance of the law, to study is more important. Do you pass by reading or by studying? Exams, do you pass by reading or by studying? Studying. We have to study. Studying is important. Yeah. Then application of the truth. The gifts of teaching goes beyond mere information. It involves applying biblical truths to real life situations. Biblical truth through real. Jesus spoke many parables because he wanted to speak of real times. What are the things happening? Because people have to understand what it means. You know that seeds somewhere on the path, then somewhere on the thorns, then somewhere on the rock, and some fell on the good soil. The thing is, we have these are becomes very applicable to us. And whenever we speak or whenever we read, we have to apply those scriptures in our life too. Then we'll be able to be a vessel which is useful unto you, God. So he said we have to application of truth. Then building of the church. Teachers play a vital role in the building up of the church by equipping believers to live out their faith more fully. Now I was just thinking on this aspect and I came out with this building up the church. Last Sunday, many of you all must be there. How many of you all were there? Can you raise the hand? Great. So many were there. If not, I will repeat the same thing what was spoken on last Sunday. He said, to be a membership of this church, it is shown that from Acts 2:42-47, he says exclusive commitment. Then he said foundational understanding, regular attendance, and faithful tithing. So these are the things which we have to accept because a leader plays a vital role in the church. Because they play a vital role, we are so many in numbers now. Sometimes our pastor Virgil will tell you the story. It started with one or two, and now how many we are? We are into 60s or 70s. It's a work of the leadership in the church. His involvement into other things. Because people are supporting him. Because people are making him to, yes, we'll carry out this task. His little release to carry out the other works. They play a very vital role. We have to be under subjection. We have to be under guidance. Building of the church. Then dedication to study. The gift requires a high level of dedication to study and deep understanding of the scripture. We have foundation course. When foundation is laid, we have to build on that foundation. What we have to do? How many of you have done that foundation course? These are also good numbers. So what it says? For that, he says that daily meditation is required. How many of you all daily, don't raise the hand now. How many of you all do daily meditation? That is a question mark. Keep it for yourself. Think it over and act on it. Then he says victorious living. Then systematic prayer. Prayer, we saw some part. It helps. It helped the Corinthians. Church and Corinthians. They prayed and it helped the Paul. So systematic prayer, victorious living, regular fellowship, loving your neighbors, being discipled and generous giving. So these are the things on which we have to build up. Studying, because meditation is more important. How many people we are spending quiet time? We are busy in our own things. Are we inclined to the word of God? Are we hearing what he has to say to me? Or what he has to say to the church? Just think it over. Then, going ahead. Teachers are essential to the church. Matthew, this is so important. Teaching is very important because he says, these are the last words of Jesus. And you say, when person is on the death trap, what he speaks is true. Here he says, Jesus came to them and said, I have given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go to the people of all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I have told you. Teaching is so important because we have to know what God says. So, I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. You see, Joshua, in the book of Joshua, Joshua, keep my statutes in your heart, and I will be with you, and you will be victorious. That was the promise. All his promises are yes and amen. So are we there? And teach them to do everything I have told you. If you follow, if we follow what we have to do, God will definitely bless us. Yeah, importance of teaching in the church in 1 Corinthians 14:20. Whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, teaching, revelation, another language or an interpretation. All things must be done for the edifice. This is in the local church where we come together and we have this. We pray, we have praise and worship. After praise and worship, somebody prays in between. Then we have somebody opens psalms, they speak, somebody prays. So these things, and after the word, we have the word also. We give the call for anybody has any encouragement, come forward. We all do this. We all do these things. This is a way where we have to be. Jesus, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Not loving self, but loving God. If you love the God, you will meditate on the word of God daily. What God has to speak to you. And then teachers have a greater responsibility. I'm teaching to you. I'm speaking on behalf of you. I'm standing on the pulpit. Here it is. Not many of you should become teachers. My fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We have to be. Dividing the word of God is more important. Rightly, if you divide the word of God for to bring the people and drag towards yourself, not towards God, then it is a problem. Always teaching should be focused toward Lord, towards God, not towards the speaker or towards self. It brings a big problem. So that is what he says. Then, yeah. The purpose of good teaching is to lead believers to maturity. Ephesians 4:10 says, he who descended is the very one who ascended higher and all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Why this foundation course is held? So we all should be on the same platform. We all should know what we are doing. We all should know what is what is not. Because we come from different areas, different faith. So when we are a part of a church, we give this foundation because we are on the same level. We know what is going on. So that is what we have to match. When we know all these things, it goes so well. Everybody enjoys. Every member will enjoy. And then he said, the teaching gift can be exercised in a number of ways. This particular gift of teaching, God's word, can be exercised in any number of ways. It can take place in a regular setting. The spiritual gift of teaching can be accessed from the pulpit, the classroom, through writing, and through counseling. Regular settings we have. What do we have? We have Sunday schools. These are the settings. Every week we have. Sunday schools are there. Then what we have? We have men's and women's ministry where we speak the word? Or we come for talks? Bible study is there every Friday. This is what regular settings are there. These are fixed. Announcements are given every time. So we have to see that regular settings are there. Then spiritual gifts of teaching can be exercised from the pulpit, the classroom. Now, if you see Paul, who was at Antioch, Acts 11:27-26, he says he was there for the whole year. For 1 year he was there. Then again we see in Corinthians, he was there for 18 months, 1.5 years. It is in Acts 11. Then in Ephesus, he was for 2 years, Acts 19:10. Because within the vicinity, he was moving and proclaiming the word of God. So that is what he said. Then the spiritual gift of teaching can be exercised from the pulpit, the classrooms, through writings and through counseling. Through writings? Some are there. It is there. There are many Christian writers who do not publicly speak, yet are using their gift of teaching to educate God's people. In fact, the entire scripture is an example of how teaching can live on beyond the person. This teaching that were given orally were eventually committed to writing so that the teaching could last beyond the years of the teacher. Indeed, the teaching found in the scriptures have lasted more than 3,500 years. And it is still lasting. It is so important. So, through writings, because there are books where they pick up one subject and they write in that book, and we learn many things. I have biblical references here and there. And when we go through that, we get equipped with a particular topic. The writer may not be there, but his writings are still there. The writer may be not speaking, but he has expressed his teaching through his book. So that way it can be done. And then through counseling, we have many counselors. Christian counselors are there. In our churches, there are counselors. Elsewhere also, there are Christian counselors. You go to psychologists, they have counselors over there. Christian counselors, they brief with the scriptures and addresses the issues, the problems which the person is having through the scriptures. So this is also teaching. You know? And above that, what happened? There was one mighty speaker who is called as Apollos. He was speaking very boldly. He went in one of the synagogue, and he started speaking so boldly. But there, who was there? Aquila and Priscilla. They observed that something is short of him. He's speaking so boldly, so confident he was. But still there is some short of him. And then the word he says, here he says in Acts 18:26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogues. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. So, when they realized he was short, so it is addressing the word of God, the scripture, properly. So here we see, all these things. We see gift of prophecy. Gift of prophecy is for all men and women alike. It is God who speaks to us through his scripture. For that we have to be in fellowship with God all the time. See, and here is yours. When we come for praise and worship or studying, having our quiet time, don't get distracted. That is the early morning when you wake up. You have nobody there to disturb. Your mind is fresh as soon as you wake up. And when you read the scriptures, it reveals many things to us, what God is speaking to us. So prophecy is a gift which each one can have, provided we have to be eager, we have to strive for it, and we have to desire for it. Then we came to gift of serving. Serving, each member has that gift of serving. And we have different, in churches, we have different ministries where we can come forward and participate in the services. Then we come to the teaching, gift of teaching. Teaching, we have to lay our foundation straight. Foundation straight in the sense, we have to do our meditation work properly, that is quiet time. We have to be prayerful. We have to love each other. We have to encourage each other. So there are, these are biblical facts and truths. When we see all these things, God will definitely bless us and give these gifts to us. Gifts who does not like. We have a prophet who, Naren Thapa, he comes here. He came to Nilsi. How many of you have come to Nilsi with the church? Then he had come two or three times he had come. Not only that, in the church also he has come. He just stands and he says, you have the word for this and this and this. You have this word for you. You have you. How many of you have received the word, prophecy through him? See, even as a church, we have received the prophecy. Because he is discerning, he is one with God. And then, serving, you see, Sahara was one of the service part of the church in Kulaba. But it has become a different identity. Likewise, our church, Renewed Hope Community Church also can do something great. Servicing is more important. And when every member participates in the service, church will grow. There is no going back. And then teaching. Teaching, we have to be little disciplined ourselves. And then God can do. I call upon pastor to pray.